Glory to God. The Lord is with us today. The Spirit of God is with us. And that is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, I've seen how things kind of went in the Old Testament. You ever read the Old Testament? You guys are scaring me now, you know. Yeah, it's a little challenging in the Old Testament. And that is largely because the people did not have the Spirit of God in them. The Spirit of God was upon certain people, and the people were responsible to follow directions. Now, we all know how good people are at that, right? You know, you give somebody a set of directions and, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. And that was the problem. But now the Holy Spirit has come into the world, into our lives, so that God can be our helper. And we are talking about soaring like an eagle, being able to soar, to be able to fly. You know, birds tend to flap their wings, right? The smaller the bird is, the more that bird's a flapping, right? You ever see like a hummingbird? Man, those wings are going so fast, it's incredible. It's like, man, how tired must that bird be at the end of the day after he's flying around? I don't know. That's a lot of wing flapping. But the eagle, he soars. He soars. You don't see him doing all this flapping. Man, that's a lot of work. And he is able to soar high, and he is a powerful bird, a huge bird, as we've been talking about. And that is what God wants us to be like. He wants us to be like the eagle, not working ourselves to death through life, but soaring as God leads us in the way that we should go. And that is why it's so important to be able to understand the benefits that we learn from the eagle. Have you ever felt the wind? Have you ever felt the wind before? Right? There's wind has all different strengths. There's all different types of wind, the way the wind blows. And the stronger the wind, the more powerful it is, and the more it is able to lift up. Isn't that right? Right? We all know what tornadoes can do and hurricanes. You know, they create strong winds that are able to blow things down and stir things up. And God says, I am like the wind. God is like the wind. And when Christ comes into your life, you and I, we become like the wind. And we have strength from God. And God is able to use us to lift each other up and to even be lifted up ourselves as God lifts us up. When we're lifted up, we can lift up others. You can't take people where you are not. You cannot take people where you are not. You can only take people to where you are. You might be able to give them directions, but you can't take them there. Do you understand the difference? You can say, oh, go this way or that way, but it's a totally different thing when you say, follow me. When you say, come, I will show you. And there are many people who give good directions, but not everybody is good at following directions. And so we need a helper. We need help. And God says he is like the wind who becomes our helper. He enables us to soar. In John 1:33, it says, I did not recognize him. This is John the Baptist speaking. But he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And so we need the Holy Spirit. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the whole idea behind baptism, as we know from being baptized in water, is that it is a sign that we are surrendering our lives to God, that we are following the ways of the Lord. That's what baptism represents. You go down into the water, which represents the realm of humanity and the Word of God. The Word and humanity coming together. And that's what the water represents. And the water washes us, it renews us, and it makes us new, so that we are coming up having been washed by the Word of God. That's what happens when Christ, who is the Word made flesh, comes into your life. And that is why we abide in the Word of God, right? Over and over again, the Scripture tells us to meditate on the Word day and night, right? That's the abiding. That's the washing of the Word. That's the cleansing, the renewing of our mind. Why does our mind need to be renewed? It's because God wants to change our perspective so that we can see from His vantage point. God wants to change our perspective so we can see from His vantage point. We're all familiar with the world and the earth, but God wants us to become familiar with His realm and the place where He is and where He is from. And so He gives us His Spirit. He baptizes us in the Spirit of God. He seals us and washes over us and renews us in the Spirit so that we can identify with His realm. And so that is what enables us to experience the wind. And that is our theme for today. So are you ready for the Word of the Lord today? Yeah. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for Your Word. And we are so grateful, Lord, that You love us and care for us so much that You didn't leave us alone to just try to follow directions, but You sent Your Son, You sent Your Spirit to us, who is able to speak to us and lead us and guide us in the way that we should go, so that we would be able to have a different life experience, different from the world, one that is empowered by God, so that we would be able to see and know and testify of the things of God, leading and helping others to have an experience in God for themselves. Lord, we thank You, God, for helping us to see and understand these concepts today as the Word of God is opened before us. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Experience the wind. This is our church's motto, and we are so excited about this because for us, it tells the story of what the experience will be when you come and participate in our church activities and events. We expect the Spirit of God to move among us, to breathe life into us, and to help us to connect with the realm of God, so that the Word of God is being rooted and established within our hearts so that we can see from God's perspective. And this is what God is doing in the midst of us here at the Orange County Gospel Fellowship. Our desire is for you to experience God for yourself so that you will know Him not just in a religious sense and in an educated sense where you have the information in your mind or in your head, but where you are having a dynamic and powerful life-changing experience through the activities and the ministries that we have presented for you. And those ministries and those events and activities come from God. I can assure you, I spend a lot of time praying about things, and people who are involved in these different ministries aren't just doing them. There's a lot of prayer that goes into this. There's a lot of seeking of God. There's a lot of paying attention to what's going on in the world and in the lives of those who are participating here at the church. And everything that we do is designed to help you to experience the win, to help you to have a different life experience. And it's so easy to just go to church and run home, go to church and go home. And if you do that, then you won't get what you could get if you engage yourself and you allow yourself to have experiences that are designed to change your life. And so often people stay the same, they don't change, is because they're insane, right? Yeah, I know. It sounds kind of insane for me to say that. And what do I mean by that? I mean that they keep doing the same old thing, expecting a different result, right? Isn't that what's the definition of insanity, right? You keep doing the same thing. You don't want to change. You want to keep doing it the way you're doing it, but you want a better life. You want a better experience. How in the world does that happen? It doesn't, right? That hasn't happened. It doesn't matter what you're trying to do. You never, that's like, you know, I want to learn how to play these instruments, but I don't want to practice. I just want to pick that thing up and be like, da, 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 da. You know, I want to be able to go. Is that even reasonable? No. No, I want a degree, but I don't want to go to school. Forget that, right? You know, I want the information, but I don't want to have to read it, or I don't want to have to do whatever it takes in order to achieve it. Anything and everything in life that has any worth or value requires an effort and a work that goes above and beyond what you would normally do if you weren't trying to achieve that thing. Is that good to say? And so it's the same thing when it comes to the things of God. If you want to have a different life experience, you can't keep doing what you were doing. In fact, anybody who's doing the same thing this year that they were doing last year is not going to be any different than they were last year, because they haven't changed anything. And if you want to have a different experience in life, you've got to be able to make changes in your life. And that is what God does. In fact, God will do things or allow things to come into our life in order to motivate us to change. He'll give you a little kick in the pants. And you can resist God, or you can allow God to take you where he wants you to go, so that you can become the person that God wants you to be. And so even our teachings and our sermons and all the classes and things that we do here, they're designed to help build relationship with God. We want you to have your own personal relationship with God. You must know him for yourself. And yet no one can do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. You have to talk to him. You have to build a relationship. You have to listen to him and then do what he says to do. And so he gives us the word of God, the Bible, which is designed to take the earthly realm, the things of man, and combine them or connect them to the realm of the spirit. Okay, you see that? The word of God, the purpose of the word of God is to take the things of humanity or the communications of humanity and breathe of the Spirit of God, so that when you take them in, when you abide in them, when you meditate on them and reflect on them, this portal to the Spirit of God opens up. And now you begin to hear God. You begin to have a relationship with God. You begin to change from the inside and then outward, right? So as you walk with God, as you spend time with God, you will change. It's impossible to have a real relationship with God and not change. People who do not change do not have the right type of relationship with God, because if they did, they would change. No one in the Bible had a relationship with God and stayed the same. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. And so it doesn't change even today in 2022. When you have a relationship with God, it changes you. Even if you don't want to change, oh, it will change you. You may not want to change. I know a lot of people didn't want to change. I didn't really want to change. I just wanted all the benefits. But it changes you. And that's what God does. Because God is making us, and we talked about this in previous weeks, He's making us to become more like him. And so we all know we're not like Jesus. I don't think we have to even discuss that. But one day, the Word of God says we will be. We will be. And it begins with the Word of God that we hide in our hearts so that we stay free from sin, right? Sin is the problem. The problem is all have sinned. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God says, I'm going to help you. He didn't say, I'm just going to condemn you back into the ground and powder you into dust because that's where you came from. He says, no. I understand why you're in sin. So therefore, I'm going to help you. That's grace, right? That's a picture of grace. We understand why we're in a sinful condition. So God sends a helper. The helper is the Spirit of God. But before the Spirit of God could come, Jesus had to come to pay our sin debt, right? So now Christ comes, he pays our sin debt, and so now we don't go to hell, let's say, because of our sins. Now we owe Christ, we owe Jesus, because he paid our debt, right? If you don't pay your taxes on your house, right, and somebody else comes and pays it, they can obtain the deed to your house, right? So if you want to keep your deed, you have to pay them back. And if you don't pay them back, they can take your house. Anybody can do it. There are people who actually do this for a living, right? And so this is what Christ did. He said, I came in, I paid your debt. So now if you come to me and you are willing to allow me into your life, then I will give you life. And you will not have your sins counted against you. So now all you have to do is admit your sins or confess your sins, and he will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Well, that's a whole lot better than burning in hell for all eternity. Well, at least it is for me. I mean, maybe some of you guys are looking forward to that. Listen, I don't like the heat. I like the cold. I'm a snow guy. I'm happy, man. We had over 10 inches of snow this week. I was like, ha ha, baby. Yeah, that was nice, beautiful. Everything was white and crystallized. Oh, man, it was so photogenic. Awesome. You know, so the summer comes, I'm like, oh, good Lord. Oh, you know, this is too hot, man. It's too hot. You know, people, they look at me, man, you're your African brother. What you mean it's too hot? You're made for the sun. I'm like, no. No, I'm made for air conditioning. Fresh from the Lord. Cool me off, man. I'm already hot. Hallelujah. Ooh, baby. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, where was I? Experiencing the wind. God, he comes into our life so that we can have this experience, so that we can experience change and transformation, so that we can become more like Christ, so that we can live for all eternity. We can have everlasting life. That's the whole reason Christ came into the world. And so that's what makes our lives exciting. And so we are talking about soaring like an eagle and being able to be lifted up by the Spirit of God so that we can have these and behold experiences where God reveals things to us. And we have this consistent interaction with God that molds us and shapes us so that we're always in a position where God is doing something and we're like, wow, okay, that's God. And that causes you to proclaim and magnify the Lord, right? Right. You're not going to proclaim and magnify the Lord if you don't recognize that God is doing anything for you. You're going to be like, yeah, right. No, God, what? You know, what's he doing for me? But when you're able to see it and you're like, whoa, you know, that's the and behold. God is like, behold, you know, I have made all things new. And you're like, wow, this is awesome. And so you need the Word of God to help you discover this, to make that connection. It's the Word of God that takes our human existence and expands it so that we can tap in to the realm of the Spirit of God so that we can see, hear, and understand from God's perspective. Right? We got that? So that's what enables us to experience God for ourselves. And if you're not having that kind of life, then That means something is broken somewhere. Because it works automatically, right? You hit the light switch and you got all the light bulbs in and you paid your bill, the light comes on, right? It's not like, well, you know, you hit the switch and it doesn't come on, you don't have any power. You don't go, oh man, you know, everything is broken or this doesn't exist or it doesn't work. No, the first question is, did you pay the bill, first of all, right? Did you pay the bill? Maybe they shut you off. Other than that, he said, did you blow the circuit breaker? Is the bulb burnt out? There's something missing or broken in the series that is causing things to not work. The Christian life is exactly the same way. There are things that you and I are called to do, and there's a way that we're called to live so that everything connects so the Spirit of God can move through us. God wants to work through us. He wants to work in us. And God lifts us up and he empowers us and he enables us, right? And that's what our lives are like. Our lives are like electricity, right? Electricity, you know, runs not through the wire, but uses the wire to create electrical fields, and the power creates this field that transfers through the wire or around the wire. It kind of radiates from the wire and it goes around, right? And so if you took electronics or if you took electricity or one of those classes, you understand that, right? So I know it seems like when you touch the wire, you get the bzzz. Well, you get the bzzz because you grounded out the connection, and the field, the power of the field, comes to you. And that is why it's so important for us to understand that when we're doing the things that God's word says to do, as you obey the word, obedience, there's something that happens in your heart that connects to God, that creates a field. And there's a move where the Spirit of God is able to bless you. It's not the fact that you read the Bible. It's not the fact that you pray. It's not the fact that you go to church. It's not the fact that you have faith and you have all this stuff. But it's when you put it all together, it creates a field, like a spiritual dynamic, like a portal that opens up. Those things create a wave, if you will, that where the Spirit of God is able to flow through you and to you. Hallelujah. It's a very interesting thing. Study electricity. You'll see. You'll understand after that. And so the idea is that God wants us to have experiences that will cause us to testify. Experiences cause us to testify. That's what Jesus was doing. He wasn't just coming down and giving them the law of Moses or telling them the word of God, but he was doing things that would create a field that would generate faith, that would generate trusting in the Lord. And it would cause the people to see and become grateful, and that opened up their hearts where God could come in. And so God did powerful things. And that is why the more you cultivate your relationship with God, the more God enables you to see what he's doing. And you're able to appreciate more and more of God. And that motivates you to do the will of God. Okay, so now we understand how things work. And so the eagle, when he flies, he is able to fly anywhere between 10,000 and 20,000 feet in the air. And these sounds, close your eyes for just a moment and just imagine yourself soaring. This is what it sounds like at 10,000 feet in the air. With the wind blowing and the gusts of wind. And the wind, it lifts the eagle up. The eagle uses the wind in order to soar. He doesn't have to flap his wings like a madman. Well, I guess like a mad bird. All he needs is the strength to hold his wings out. And then he makes subtle adjustments that enable him to change direction And even when the gusts of wind go against the direction he wants to go, it's just a matter of adjusting and adapting. And he changes direction just by shifting his wings. And an eagle can soar for 5 hours at a time in the air at 10,000 feet. Now, what you're looking at in this screen is the lower clouds are at 6,500 feet. The upper clouds are at 23,000 feet. And so that space in between is where eagles can fly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is where you and I want to be. We don't want to rise up above God. We just want to be in the Spirit, in that space where God is enabling us to see and perceive and relate as He sees things and perceives things, so that we can have a different life experience than people on the ground. Now, on the ground, it's a different experience. On the ground, we see that, you see where the rain is? You see the green on the bottom? Yeah, that's grass, right? So on the bottom, the rain and the rain clouds are here in this lower section, which is below 6,500 feet. You see that? And those clouds are the cumulonimbus clouds. And those are the clouds that absorb the moisture in the air, that absorbs the rain. That's where the rain clouds come. And the way the heat and the sun and the water and the moisture in the air all interact together, the clouds are formed and they absorb the moisture. They absorb the water. And so when they're full, they literally explode. They pop like balloons. And the water comes down. The rain begins to come down. And that's why on the two outer edges there, you know, those clouds are the cumulus nimbus clouds that form the rain or cause the rain. They release the rain down that comes down to us. But look how low that is. That is somewhere around 1,000 feet, somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 feet, sometimes as high as 3. But mostly it's in the 2,000, 1,500 to 2,000 foot range is where the rain clouds are. So everybody who's on the ground, on the grass, looking up, all they see is rain clouds. All you see is the storm and the darkness that it brings, because the fullness of the clouds, because they're filled with water, blocks the sun's ability to shine through the cloud. So it gets dark. And so it seems like it's trouble. It seems like there are problems and issues. But if you can soar up and rise above those clouds, once you get above those clouds, it's not even that high, it changes everything. Everything changes. Now you're able to see the rays of the sun. You're able to recognize that there is light. There is a beautiful day out. And so no matter what the weather is down on the ground, the sun is always shining from God's perspective. Things are always good from God's perspective. Have you ever flown in a plane and left in the rain? All right, when you get above the clouds, it's like, where'd the rain? What happened? What happened? You rose above the clouds. And now that changes your perspective. And now you feel better. You feel different. It just changes everything, because now you're not in darkness. Now you're in the light. Isn't that right? And that is what God is recreating in our lives. This whole principle. Remember, God designed this whole thing. And so he knows how this is supposed to work. And this is what God is doing for us. It says in John 3:2, it says, this man, whose name is Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And so the things that we do demonstrate who we really are. The way we live demonstrates who we really are. And the people of God live a certain way so that the conduit of God can be established so that the Spirit of God can work around and through us. God manifests himself through the wire of our obedience and our will to do the things that God has called us to do. So as we apply the word of God and we have faith in God in our hearts, that causes us to expand in a way where the field, the dynamic field or the magnetic field of the Spirit of God can be generated and flow through us. Instantaneously, God can move in our life. God can use you. God can speak to you. He can give you what you need to have, or he can change your heart. He'll make a way. He can do whatever he needs to do because you are operating in the right spirit, in the right dynamic. And so Jesus is explaining now to Nicodemus how this works. And he says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So now he's telling them, you can't do this by just being an earthly being. You need to be born from above. The word there in the Greek is born from above, or born of the Spirit of God, or the realm of God. And when you come to Christ, it's not that you just believe something. That's not what saves you. What saves you is God coming into you. What enables that to happen, your belief opens the portal. Your belief enables you to tap in. And God begins to open you up. God begins to expand you so that he can pour himself into you. But it's not until God pours himself into you that you receive salvation. You can't receive salvation if you go to pour and the top is still on. It's all still sealed up, right? You can't pour into a glass that has a cover on it. The cover has to come off. Everything has to be opened up. There's got to be an opening of the whatever the bottle is. Everything has to be open. And then it can connect. You can pour from one to the other. And that's what the Spirit of God is doing. When you say, "I receive Christ into my life," when I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, you're saying, "God poured out and I'm accepting it. I'm opening my top so that God can pour in." Well, it's faith that opens the top. It's your belief in God that opens you up. Not only opens you up, but makes you the right shape so God can pour into you. He opens you up so you're not flat. You're able to now have more dimension to you. So now you're not like a sheet of paper. You're like a cube or a box or a cylinder, something that can actually hold the Spirit of God. And so God pours himself into you and he begins to fill you up. And the more you walk with God and build and develop your relationship with God, the more of God gets poured into you. The stronger you get in your faith, the stronger you get in your walk with God, the more you're able to see and hear and perceive the things of the Spirit of God. If you have a little bit of a relationship with God, then you'll get a little bit of God's pouring into you. But if you have a lot of time with God, or you are cultivating your relationship with God to a greater level, then God expands you so he can pour more into you. And then he can use you in more powerful ways. You can keep pouring into other people. Why? Because you're a bigger container. You know, some people are a gallon jug. Some people are little cups. Some people are syringes, you know. Maybe you can squirt a little, something. You might be able to get something out of them, but they don't really have it. Other people are like a 55-gallon drum. And then there's other people who might be unlimited, right? Jesus was unlimited. He was totally God. He was fully tapped in. And the awesome thing is that one day you and I will be like Jesus, fully tapped in. We will be limitless. We will be filled. We will be all in with him. And that is what God is building us up to be. He is working this out in our lives. And so Jesus goes on and he says here, he says, unless one is born again, he cannot even see it, right? If you can't see it, you can't achieve it, right? You can't do it. You have to be able to have vision. Without vision, the people perish. That's why without a vision, people perish. Because God is trying to give you the ability to see so that your faith can be in God. And this is why Satan is hard at work to create doubt in your life. Because his job is not, he knows he can't rob you of all of your faith. All he wants to do is give you enough doubt so that the conduit can't flow. This is kinked. You ever have a water hose and then you got it all stretched out and you're trying to squirt? The water coming in is not coming out. It's kind of trickling and you're trying to figure out what's wrong with it. And then you realize there's a bend in it. There's a kink in the line. Well, one kink in the line stops the flow of the water. And that's why God says, O ye of little faith, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. That little kink will stop the flow of the Spirit of God. Oh, you'll have water in you. You'll have God in you. You'll have the Word in you. But because of the kink, you got no power. It's trickling out. It's just coming out like a little bit at a time. Well, God says, man, get rid of the kinks in your life, and man, you will have a gusher. What's going in is going to come out, and you will experience God powerfully when we are free of the kinks. The problem is it takes a lifetime to do it, and that's because we have an adversary, and that is Satan, and his job is create kinks. He tries to find ways to ensnare us, to get us hung up on things that are going to be a distraction so that we forget who we are, because we surround ourselves with a whole bunch of people who are walking in darkness under the cloud. It's raining on them. They got all issues. They got all kinds of problems. And you're trying to soar above to the light, but you're getting caught up because they built some really cool way to catch water as it comes down and make it swing around. And you're like, wow, that's really cool, man. Oh, and now you want to be friends with the guy who created this water spout. God says, the heck with the water spout. Rise up and let's get above where the clouds are. You won't need a water spout. You can have a brighter day. Your life can be filled with sunshine. You can have the nice wind blowing. You could be soaring right now. Right now, you're down on the ground getting soaked. And you're in the dark. You don't even know what's really going on. You're just trying to just deal with stuff. But you got a whole bunch of people who are living in the dark trying to tell you about how to have light. Well, isn't it better to go to the light rather than have somebody try to tell you how to get to light or what light is or describe it or how they've manufactured their own way to have a little bitty pen light when you can have the light of God? Didn't God say that I am the light of the world? Hallelujah. Well, then what is anybody else going to offer you? You know, nobody else has anything compared to that. We want the light of the world. Well, the heck with all this other stuff. Stop listening to people who can only give you little morsels of imitation high fructose corn syrup. Go for the real sugar, right? Just at least it's real. At least it's authentic. Rather than just try to deal with artificial ways that people derive in order to have a better life, why not follow God, because he's the guy who designed this whole system? Why don't we listen to him and say, I will do what you said. That's why Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, go and do this. That's what happened with Moses and the people in the wilderness. God was giving them directions and directing them and telling them which way to go. But God is saying, that didn't work too good with people, so I'm going to change it up. Now I'm going to impart myself to you through the Word of God, that as you abide in the Word, it will form a divine connection whereby my Spirit can begin to flow as your spirit, the portal of your soul, begins to expand so that I can flow through it and ignite life and power and strength to you. so that's why Jesus said, you can't even see this. This is what I'm trying to do, but you're never going to see it. But you got to be born again. You got to be able to be born of the Spirit, because Spirit begats Spirit. God is Spirit, so you need to be born again of the Spirit of God so that this whole thing can even get off the ground. And so you have to be born again. And so Jesus is explaining this, and he says to Nicodemus, or Nicodemus says back to Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he? And Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water, as in natural birth and coming into life, right? A woman's water breaks and the baby comes out, right? And so not only the water, which also represents the baptism or the concept of baptism being washed by the word of God and the righteousness of God, but you also need the Spirit. It's the water and the Spirit. Notice Spirit is capitalized. That's because in the translators translated this, they recognize the word here in the context represents the Spirit of God or the wind of the Spirit. And so now the Spirit is the thing that you and I need. That's the thing we need. That's why we need to be opened up. That's why we need to be expanded. That's why we need to be made anew. Because it's God himself imparting a portion, a piece of himself into us. Hallelujah. And that only can happen as the word of God begins to renew us and build our faith so that we trust in God. Trusting in God opens you up so God can come in. You're going to open the door for somebody you don't trust? No, you're not. And if people know that you don't trust them, you think they're going to want to go in? Not unless they're a thief or a robber. Isn't that right? That's right. And keep these concepts in mind, because this is what Jesus is talking about when he uses these examples. And so you and I have to have faith in God so that God can continue to expand us, so that he can continue to pour more and more of himself into us, so that we can become more and more like him. And ultimately, we become like Christ, like Jesus. And that's why the word of God is so critical to your life and mine, because it's the word that will renew your strength. It's the word that renews your mind. So you don't, it's so easy for us to get distracted. You know, we get caught up in all the things that we have to do, and we forget about the Lord. But it's the word that ignites this whole thing. The word is like the wire that goes from O&R or Con Ed or whoever it is, the grid, right, to your house. It's the cable that has to get you there. That's the word of God. And so once you have the word of God working in your heart and renewing your mind, then the Spirit of God begins to expand you. And now you begin to open up, and then your faith is generated and makes a connection in the Spirit to God. And then God begins to commune with you, and you begin to hear his voice. You begin to have this relationship with him, and that's what begins the power transfer. Because your faith and your trust and God's faith and his trust and all the things that he's done are working together to create this magnetic field that allows the power of God to flow into you. And so that is why all of this is important. And so Jesus is saying to them that you can't enter without being born of water and the Spirit. First, you can't see it. You can't see it. But now, without this total process, you can't enter in, right? Because what salvation comes not just because you believed, not just because you agreed with the information that God sent, but because you received the information, and God made a transfer. Hallelujah. There's a difference between somebody saying, I'm going to give you $1 million, give me your bank account. And you give them your bank account number. And you end up with $1 million, right? Why? Because they didn't make a transfer. But once they make the transfer, you can close that thing down, and now you have it. Now that $1 million is yours. But if you leave it open, which is what ends up happening when you get those letters from people in Asia or in Africa or somewhere, saying that they're princes and people from good and lows where. And that portal stays open. Not only can you put money in, but you can take money out. And they are able to create a scenario or a situation where the money that you have is no longer yours. Because you created a connection. And so there's a law that says if you give somebody access to your account to put money in, they can also take money out. And so that's why you got to be careful with some of this stuff. And so God is operating in the same way. He says, look, open the portal and I will come in and I will sup with you. Isn't that what the word of God says? God will abide with you. And he says, I say to you, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, that there is this connection that's established so that God can flow. Once we connect with God and he makes that transfer, the Spirit of God into our spirits, life is imparted to us. And so he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Verse 6 of 3, right? And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see that? Spirit is capitalized. That means that is God's spirit transferred to your spirit, my spirit. God, he converts our flesh into a container that is spirit, that enables us to receive Christ or receive the Spirit of God. And the Word of God now sustains us. It feeds us. It keeps us. The Word of God is the food for your soul. And so as we meditate on the Word of God, it helps us, it sustains us, and it gives us life. And worship enhances the power of God in our life. Why? Because worship requires you to first recognize who God is and what he's done and what he's doing in you so that you can glorify the Lord. And once you glorify the Lord, praise and worship ignites the fire of the Spirit of God in you. And that is what motivates you. That's what encourages you. That's what lifts you up. That's what enables you to witness and testify of the things of God. So he says, do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. And so he says in verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So I don't know about you, but I have been out in the wind. I think you guys have too. And especially during leaf raking season, right? You know, I my driveway, I have to rake these leaves. The leaves always blow into my driveway up against the door, and it's always a big pain in the neck. You guys have this problem? You know, yeah. And so when you go to rake the leaves out, and I have one of these blowers that I got from Home Depot, like, you know, you plug it in and kind of do this. And so, you know, you get it going and it starts blowing the leaves out. And then once you get it almost done, the wind blows, right? The wind blows. And it just blows everything right back where it was. Does this ever happen to you? Yeah. Is that frustrating or what? So now you got to, like, you try to do it faster. Right, because you know if you can get it past a certain point, just maybe you can kind of blow it away out somewhere else. So if it blows, it's not going to all come back. And so you blow this thing and it's going, you're going, you're going, and you try to get it beyond a certain point so that it doesn't come back. And that's what happens. And the same thing happens in the snow. You know, I have my snowblower and I got the thing blowing, and you know how the chute, it comes out. You know, it's great when the wind is blowing in the direction that you have the chute. But when it's blowing back at you, that's a problem. And the problem is, you never know when it's going to happen. You're like going along, everything is great. It's like, man, I'm going to get this done quick. Then all of a sudden, the wind shifts, and now it's like, you know, it's all coming back at you. It's blowing right back at you. Now what do you got to do? You got to stop, right? Because you can't keep going because you just got saturated in ice-cold snow. And so that causes you to be hindered in your process. And this is what happens in our lives. And so God is saying, don't allow the wind to blow you down. Let it blow you up. Don't allow the wind to be a hindrance, but adapt and adjust your wings so that you can gain lift from the challenges and the difficulties that you're facing. Allow the Spirit of God to lift you up. Because in this world, Jesus said, we will have tribulation. We will have problems. We will have difficulties. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that means I've designed it for you, in your case, that when the wind blows and the storms come, you don't have to try to figure out all this stuff. He says, you just stretch forth your wings, adjust the flaps, and let it take you up. Where's it taking you? Closer to God. It's raising you up into that atmosphere where the Spirit of God is free. And you're able to just flow and you can soar. And an eagle can see, right? He can see for 2 to 3 miles ahead of him down onto the ground. He can see a rabbit or some other small animal running on the ground that he can swoop down and grab. And he's got himself a nice little meal. But the animal on the ground never saw it coming because the eagle was 3 miles away. And the eagle doesn't take his eyes off of the prey until he grabs him. And so you and I have to learn this principle that when God raises you up, no matter what the wind is doing in your life, you keep making adjustments and keep your eyes on where God is taking you so that you are not thrown off course. Don't allow your challenges to blow you down. Let them blow you up. Let them raise you up. Let them bring you closer to God, closer to the realm of the Spirit of God. And so you and I are given this ability by the Spirit of God. You never know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. But you do know that it's designed so that all things will work together for your good because you love God and are called according to his purpose. That means you've got the Word and the Spirit and faith and trust all properly connected, and you've got kinks removed so God can flow strongly in your life. So verse 14 in Ecclesiastes, it says in chapter 1, I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. The word for wind here is the word ruah in the Hebrew. And that means, just like the words in the Greek, spirit or the breath of God. When God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul, the word that's used is ruah, God's breath. Caused Adam to come alive. And that's why you and I need to stay connected to God, because anytime you're interacting with God, it's going to breathe life into you. It's going to encourage you. It's going to build you up. It's going to give you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, right? Isn't that the fruit of the ruah, the fruit of the pneuma of God? Yes. So if God is genuinely in you and God is working in your heart and in your life, you are going to be generating love, joy, peace, all of those things, patience, kindness. That's what's going to happen. But the only thing that's going to slow it down or hinder it is if you got kinks in the line. And so kinks in the line will have you run out of joy. Kinks in the line will have you run out of peace or patience. When situations and storms start coming, you pull out the hose and you try to squirt, and all you got is a brrr. That's all that's coming out. And then we say, well, where's your faith? Well, it's not your faith. You got the connection. You got all this other stuff in the line. But Satan has introduced doubt or some hindering thing that has caused a kink in your line. And you have to seek God and say, God, show me. Show me where it is, because you may not know. The advantage is that God always has people in our lives who can help us find kinks. Hallelujah. Right? Any man here who has a wife knows this, right? Women are good at finding kinks. They will find the kinks in your life. Hallelujah. And men will find kinks in their wife's life. But you can't tell them where they are until they ask for it. Right? That's the thing. You see, you got to learn that, because if you try to tell them where the kinks are and they didn't ask where the kinks are, you're going to find yourself in trouble, right? So you got to wait. Women will tell you. You don't have to wait. You don't have to ask. They're just going to blast you with your kinks. They're going to say, you got to work that out, brother, because that is a problem. That's going to be a hindrance, right? And so they will lay it out for you. But these are just the way it is, right? God designed it to be because, you know, we are all working our way through life and we have all kinds of challenges and difficulties and the devil is at work. And when the devil is at work and he is busy, we need people in our lives. And that's why we need to have our kids involved in Ignite and youth ministry, Breached and Breakout. And we need to be engaged in the men's ministry, the women's ministry, and, you know, all these kinds of things. Why? Because we're all helping to get the kinks out so that there can be a flow of God. And there are some kinks that I may have worked out that you haven't worked out, but I know how to work it out, and I can help you. And you might have some kinks that I haven't been able to work out, and I can gain some insight from you. And as we interact together and work together, we're all able to get rid of some kinks so we can experience the power of God in our lives. And that's what this is really all about. This is not about me trying to tell you about yourself or make a show of your faults and your weaknesses or to blow up all the things that you aren't doing right. That's not my problem. That's between you and God. But when you want to get free from them, you got to get around people who got power, who can help you get free. And so we're in the liberating business. I'm not trying to add more kinks, you know. I'm not trying to strengthen the kink you already have by reinforcing it or making it worse. My goal here is to help you get free from the kinks because we all got kinks, right? Jesus said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. So we can't be throwing stones when we're all in glass houses, right? And so we all got kinks in our life. So we're all working to get these kinks out. And so we need the Spirit, we need God to blow into us so that he can expand those kinks out and so that the power of God can reach us. And that is what God is doing. Otherwise, he says it's all vanity and you're striving after wind. You ever try to chase the wind? Forget it. You know, like just raking those leaves, the old example I just gave. If I could see where the wind was even going, then I could like get my blowing and raking and my snow blowing in a way that would have me get it done quick before it all blows back on me. And so we can't, and we don't know. And so verse 7 of Ecclesiastes 12 says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So this is helping us to understand that when you die, your spirit is the thing that survives. Your spirit comes alive. The reason the body dies is because the spirit leaves. Otherwise, the body will keep fighting to stay alive. But once the body no longer has fight in it, then the spirit says, well, time for me to go. And God takes you out. And so you're pulled out. And so when you die, it's actually a liberating experience because you're going back to God, unless you don't have a connection. If you don't, now you got a whole nother story. Why? Because there's no connection, no power transfer. God didn't put anything in, so there's nothing to take out. So now you're dead in your sins. Now you are lost. You are rooted in darkness. So now there's no life in you. Therefore, there is no going back to God. You die and you go back into the earth. Your body goes in. Well, we all go back to the earth, but you know, you go with it. But the part of you that God breathed, the life part of you, that will go back to God to give an account. And basically, the account is Christ in there anywhere? God checks you out. Is your soul redeemed? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Once he says you're not there, once your name is not written, God says you rejected the opportunities I presented for you, so therefore, I can't help you. You got nothing. You don't have eternal life. You just don't have eternal life. You never received eternal life. So therefore, you have to go with Satan and all of his fallen angels because you believed his word over God's. You believe the lies and the deception over the light of Christ and the light of God's word. You believed and enjoyed the darkness rather than come to the light. Remember, the world is filled with darkness. There is none righteous, no, not one. Any goodness that exists in the world at all is because of the grace of God. God allows his grace to be poured out on all mankind. And so the good things that we experience in life come from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. God imparts it to the whole earth, all of his creation. He created it and he said it is good. So the creation is good. It was designed for that. But what happened was man lost dominion over that, and Satan now has it. So now Satan becomes your master, and instead of light shining, darkness has filled the earth. And so God says, I'm going to deliver you from darkness, out of the darkness into his marvelous light. I'm redeeming you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yes, Lord, pull me out. Hallelujah. God is raising me up. That is what God is doing. So when you stand before God, it's too late. It's going to be a matter of, did you receive or not? Not did you go to church, not did you read your Bible, not did you have all the right information, not did you know people, not did you do all this stuff. He said, did you receive? I'm looking for myself in you. I'm looking for myself in you. And if Christ is in you, he's your hope of glory. Isn't that what the Word of God says? So now you have life everlasting. You have eternal life. The dust returns back to the God, the body returns to the dust, and the spirit goes back to God who gave it. Verse 24 of John 4 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Hallelujah. Notice it's spirit with a small s this time, right? Because he's talking about now the pneuma of God, the breath of God. So if you're going to worship, you must worship with your spirit that God originally gave you, in your spirit. God says you receive the strength of God, the power of God, the spirit of God that ignites your spirit. So now your spirit comes alive to worship. Hallelujah. And you begin to worship God. And truth is always representative of the word of God, or the ways of God. That is truth. So when you are operating in your own spirit in obedience to the truth of God, that's what ignites worship. That's where worship comes from. That's why when you sin, you don't want to worship. You feel bad. You're like guilty. You don't even want to go to church. You don't want to talk to anybody who pray, unless your heart has been changed. Unless you've been redeemed of the Lord, then you'll want forgiveness. And you might cry out to God, but you don't want your sin exposed. So you kind of pull back. But what God is saying is that if you worship me and you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you. So that restores your ability to worship in order to operate in truth. It recreates a desire for the word of God. Verse 63 of John 6 says, it is the Spirit, this time it's capital S, who gives life. That means the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. The flesh profits nothing. There's no profit to that. You know, I know Kenny, he's going to the gym now, and he's, you know, trying to get himself buff, right? You know, and, you know, a lot of people go to the gym. A couple of the guys go, and it's good. It's fun. It's all right. And that's good. And God says it will profit a little bit. Bodily exercise does profit a little bit. But God says it's the Spirit of God that's going to give you life. So if you want energizing life, nothing better than the Spirit of God to be imparted to you. The flesh doesn't profit anything. The flesh is dead. It's dying. It's dying. It's on its way out. And, even the scientists understand that, right? Once you get to 27 years old, everything starts slowing down, right? Starts going the other way. And so, you know, it's just a matter of time before the body gives out. And so, you know, that's why you see old people out there running. They're like, they're like hanging on. They're like trying to get, I got to keep this heart strong, right? They're trying to, you see them in the gym, these guys, you know, isn't that a lot of us kind of like, oh man, that's all right. I'm bad. I can do it, you know. No. You gotta know what you're doing. You gotta operate in wisdom, right? But all this exercise and all this stuff, it doesn't really profit a whole lot, only a little bit. And so the words that Jesus has spoken. He says, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. And so the benefit is in the Spirit of God being transferred to you so the life of God can be imparted to you. And that's why you are able to come alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why you see spirit-filled old people, they're on fire for God. They're on fire for God. Why? Because there's something igniting in them. They can't even control themselves. They can't even help themselves because they're connected. It's like sticking your finger in an electric socket. You're going to shake, man. You're going to be like, all right. You're going to be like one of those Frankenstein science experiments. The bolts of lightning and electricity coming down. You know, God ignites life into his people. He empowers us. He strengthens us. He brings you, he makes you alive. Why? Because God wants to make an example out of you of what he is ultimately capable of doing so that you can testify. And they say, man, how do you have so much life in you? Oh, you got so much energy. I'm like, man, I can't get my finger out of the socket. Hallelujah. You don't have to. You can stay connected in God. Believe me, the devil wants you to disconnect. He wants you to become powerless so that you can be easily caught up in the wrong thing. He can hold you down under the wind and the storms and the rain. He can keep you in the dark. He can keep you from stretching out your wings so that you can at least catch a breeze to start to get up in the right direction. He will do everything he can to rob you, to keep kinks in your line so there's no power flow. Don't allow Satan to rob you of what God has given you, what he's imparted to you. The Spirit gives life. It is the Spirit who gives life. In verse 15 of John 14, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not you might, not you could, not you should. He said you will. Why? Because if I am working in you, man, you're going to go to do the wrong thing and I'm going to be like, hey, don't do it. Don't do it. You ever done something you shouldn't do? Oh, don't try to play that. Oh, everybody got quiet. Man, you guys got real quiet, right? Yeah. You know, you do something and you know you shouldn't do it. And you did it anyway. You know how that feels? Does that bother you? That shows you got God. You got God. If you didn't have God, it wouldn't bother you. You would be like, what the heck? Hey, man, yeah, I'm going for it. You know, it's fine. You know, you enjoy yourself for a moment. But then afterwards, you start to feel that guilt. You feel the shame. You start to feel all that stuff that comes on you. And God says, if you keep my commandments, I will save you from that. I will keep you. I will sustain you. And the more God is chasing after, you know, we sing that song, he's chasing after you, right? God is chasing, right? He's chasing. That means God is creating situations so that you can keep getting zapped with guilt and shame and things that are going to cause you to realize you need to stop doing that thing, man. You need to stop. And that's God chasing after you. And sooner or later, you give in. You say, oh, God, I quit. I give up. Take me, you know. And you just give up, you know. And Lord says, all right, come on. He just drags you, you know. Let's go. And he puts you where you need you to be. And, you know, and then God starts patching you up and breathing life and helping you. And then the next thing you know, you're not going to say, you know what, I'm not going to do that again. Right? But sometimes people forget because people have short memories. And all of a sudden, you forget that bad feeling. You forget that shame. You forget all that. And you find yourself being tempted by the devil. And now the enemy is trying to draw you back into the darkness. And the next thing you know, you're tapping into something you shouldn't be getting into. And then you start trying to toe the line. Whoa, something is not right. I know I don't want to. And you start playing that whole trying to, you know, how close to the line can I get without actually falling off? You know, and God says, oh, you want to play that game, huh? I know how to play that game. And then he goes, push, ah, ha, ha, now you're in. Boom, right down in there. And you go right down in the hole because you were playing around. And now God says, now what you going to do? You know, so either you call on God and say, God, save me, forgive me, help me. And God will say, all right, now, though, let's not stay close to the edge. Let's move way back here. Why don't you get around some people that are going to hold you by the coattails to make sure you don't find yourself in the wrong place? Because Satan wants to get you alone and isolated so that he can easily deceive you into believing your own rhetoric that's going on in your head. And it's because he gave you that rhetoric so that it was designed to keep you out, to keep you away from the people of God. So if you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The word helper here is the word parakletos. It means legal advisor. In other words, like a lawyer. He's going to send the Holy Spirit is like a lawyer. So when you're like going through stuff, he says, don't say that. Don't say that. I need to listen to him some more myself, because sometimes, you know, I say things and then it's like, I guess I shouldn't have said that. And then my wife will say, yeah, if you shouldn't have said that. So now you're on your own, right? So I have to learn that. And it's easier with some people. Like I can do it when I'm in church setting and when I'm in a setting where I'm ministering or sharing and helping people, you know, it's easy. But when you go home, you know, it's a little different atmosphere, right? Things kind of shift a little bit. Stuff is going on. You're like, you're just kind of doing what you do. And, you know, stuff starts happening. And next thing you know, you're like, ah, you know. And it's like, oh, you're snapping now, right? So now you introduce something that you shouldn't have introduced. And now you got another spirit that came in because you didn't obey the word. You operated with the wrong spirit. And so now you got a whole nother issue on your hands. You got to deal with that. And I've learned the quickest thing to do is say, Father, forgive me. I knew not what I did. I'm sorry. I didn't know. Just apologize quick. Married men, learn that. Apologize quick. Apologize quick. The Bible says, agree with your adversary quickly, right? Immediately. So when you say or you do the wrong thing and somebody rises up, apologize. Say you're wrong. Say you did it wrong. Even if you don't think you did it wrong, figure that out later. Just apologize now so you can get free. Hallelujah. Because after some time, you might realize, well, I could have said it better. I could have used a different word. Maybe if I hadn't have said that, I could have said this. It would have came out different. So you can figure all that out later. But you're not going to figure that out in a moment. You're going to be trying to fight to justify yourself. But you're not going to win. So you need the Spirit of God. You need a helper. That's why lawyers advise their clients, let me do the talking, right? Because they know you're going to get emotional, you're going to get caught up, and you're going to say things that are not going to help. It's going to just make it worse. And so he says, I will do the talking, right? And that's what God does. And God will raise up people. Like my wife, she is a great helper. She's an awesome advocate. Hallelujah. You know why? She is so amazing. I could be eating dinner. We could be with a group of people. And, you know, we could have a conversation. Things are going on. And, you know, everything is flowing. And I'll be talking and sharing, or people will be interacting. And I will get the kick under the table. I will get the jab in the ribs. I have gotten the kung fu back punch, you know, where it's just like you're sitting there at the table and all of a sudden it's like, poof. You know, and you're like, oh, you know, and that I get clues. She's really good at helping me to understand when I need to be quiet or when I need to back off or tone it down. I've even gotten the heel in the toe. Have you ever gotten that? The heel in the toe. And so, you know, there's all kinds of little signals that we have worked out over the years that are designed to help me. Well, I wasn't really part of the working them out, but I've experienced them. I guess she worked them out and found them to be effective. So therefore, I've adapted now. So you know, this is how it is. You know, we have to have people in our lives who can do that. I have a staff. I got a staff of people who work with me, and they will tell me, yeah, no, don't say it like that. Don't do that. I don't know. I'm an in-your-face kind of person, as you all know, right? And so I say things, and then it's like, oh, yeah, I guess it's out there now, right? There's no getting it back. If you can only attach a line to some words, and so that as they go out and you start to realize, wait, that needs to come back, you could kind of like, you know, try to pull that thing back, you know? But once it's out there, there's nothing that can save it except the Spirit of the Lord. Say, God, buffer it. I can tell you, I use that all the time. You should try that. You say something, you say, God, buffer their ears so they don't hear it Though I don't hear it the way it sounds, like it sounds to me. All right. You know, my wife says stuff, man, I don't know. The way he's kind of said that, you know, I'm like, oh, God, buffer it, Lord. Let it. If that wasn't good, Lord, let him forget it, Lord. Let it somehow melt away. Something, Lord. Deal with it, God. You know, so you got to have a relationship with God that you got to be able to work stuff out, because if you don't, man, that stuff will come back and it will punch you in the face, right? And you will find yourself knocked out because you did or said the wrong thing. And it is painful. It is difficult to manage and to deal with. Anyway, I'm off script here. And so, you know, we need a helper. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. I think you got it. So in John 15:17, he says, that is the Spirit of truth. He's the helper, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him. And we know why, right? Because he hasn't been born again, or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, this is the pivot point right here, because this is the difference between Old Testament, God being with the prophets, God being with the people of Israel, and God being in you. You see, it says God will be in you. He abides with you now, but he will be in you. And that is what Christ enabled to happen. That's what I'm explaining here. That's what the whole connection, the whole abiding in God, the whole believing and having faith and trust and applying all of these things is what enables Christ to come in. And once Christ comes in, it changes everything. Verse 26 of John 14 says, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Oh, this is what your legal advocate will do. And that's why you have to learn the voice of God. You've got to get to know the Lord. You've got to cultivate that relationship with God so that when you hear him bring things back to you, you will recognize God, because Satan's job is to imitate God. Did you know that? Satan's job is to imitate God. He will say things that sound like they're scripture, like they're of God. Things like, I don't know, the Lord helps those who help themselves, right? You've heard people say that. Sounds like a Bible verse, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Oh, the Lord helps those who help. But really, the Lord helps those who can help themselves. If you can help yourself, God says, well, go ahead. You don't need me. But he says, if you want me, then you have to invite me in. And so the Lord doesn't really help those who can't help, who help themselves. He helps those who can't help themselves. And so when you are in a position, God knows what your need is. And that's why when you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be delivered or saved. Right. And so he says he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit will teach you things. And if you don't know the word of God, then Satan can imitate scripture and you will fall for it. He will make you believe something that you think it's from God. I've heard people say all kinds of stuff. And they say, well, the Lord told me. I say, oh, really? What did the Lord tell you? Then when you hear what the Lord told them, you realize that's not of God. That was a deceptive word from Satan that was designed to keep you from achieving what you needed to achieve so that you would go down the wrong path. And so that's what Satan does. That's what he did to Eve in the garden. He deceived her. And he said, did God really say? And that's what people do. They question God. The world is questioning God. The whole idea behind the world, they say, well, you know, we're tolerant of everybody. Everybody's, you know, we trust, we have the ability to work with everybody. We trust everything. Everything is fine. All is good. Kumbaya. Let's all be together. But that's really saying that everybody's word is just as good as the word of God. And that's not true. The word of God is above every word. The name of Jesus is above every name. And when the world is trying to get you to question the word of God. So when the Lord says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, you say, well, I don't know. On my job, they told me I can't speak about Jesus. Well, whose word is higher? The job or God? Now, that's not to say you go out there busting people up with the word. You know, we're not taking our Bibles and doing Bible jujitsu with people, right? You know, we're like, oh, you're a devil, you're a liar, oh, psh, psh, right? You're a sinner, oh, you're no good, what you, you're, oh, you're filthy, oh, God, oh, Jesus, right? You know, no, that's not what we do. But we wait on the Lord, and God creates opportunities because God touches people. We have to wait for God to touch somebody's heart, right? When God touches somebody's heart, their heart opens up so you can put something in. But if their heart doesn't open, you can't put anything in there. You're gonna end up with a fight because that connection between the head and the heart's gotta open up so they can receive. And so we need the Lord to go before us. That's why we follow the Lord. God will make a way. He will open doors. He will create opportunities. And that's by us being a witness because we create the field where the Spirit of God can work. So when you're at work, when you're at school, the Spirit of God is working. The Spirit of God is moving. God is just reaching out. He's touching people. You just walk by people because you're in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just washing over them. The Word of God washes over them. God is ministering. And God is just touching people. And you're just because of who you are and the Spirit that you operate in, God uses you to be a conduit where the Spirit of God can minister to people without them even know they're being ministered to. Just being in Jesus' presence changed everything for people. People would walk by the disciples, their shadow would pass by and people would get healed. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Right? But this is the principle that's behind that. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to accomplish all these things. I know we're running a little late. We started late, so we're in LA. But here in Acts 2, we're getting to the end. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. You see that? They weren't all at home. They weren't all random places. But the reason they were in one place is because Jesus said to go and wait for the promise of the Father. They were obeying the word of God. Whenever you obey the word of God, a promise will meet you there. When you obey the word of God, God will fulfill his promise to you. God will cause something to happen that otherwise would not happen unless you obeyed, unless you did what God would have you to do. It says, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested or they remained on each one of them. And so what you see happening here is they were all obeying the word of God, and they ended up in one place where the Spirit of God moved. It came in. Now, it wasn't just like this nice, oh, Holy Spirit, right? It says it was a noise like a violent rushing wind. It blasted in. It was like coming in a blazing, and it was turbulent wind, and it filled the whole house. And that is because when you want a powerful change and experience to happen, you need great power in order to flush out everything that is a hindrance to what you're trying to receive. That means you got to straighten all the kinks out. And when the Spirit of God came in, it caused everybody. You know what happens when people are in the upper room. They were there for 10 days waiting. Could you imagine a 10-day service? And you're just waiting on God. Well, how long are we supposed to be here? I don't know. He said, wait till the promise comes. Well, what is the promise? I don't know. I guess we'll know when it gets here. Well, guess what? When that happens, you know. Now you know. Well, this must be it. I'm telling you, this is it. Why? Because it's powerful. It's blasting through. It changed everything. It wasn't just the same old, same old. It just wasn't the same situations and circumstances. God moved. And the wind is designed to lift you up. And these people all became worshipers. All of a sudden, they're speaking in tongues. They're worshiping God. They're using languages they never used before. They're speaking in known languages, unknown languages. There's all kind of, God only knows what was going on in there. But those people, they were experiencing the wind of the Spirit of God. Don't let the wind blow you down. Let it blow you up. I know Popeye said, well, blow me down, right? Well, God says, I want to blow you up. I'm going to cause the wind and the storms and the challenges and difficulties that you face to drive you upward into the place where the peace of God is, where the presence of God is, where the Spirit of God is. You're going to be so high up, the ravens can't come pecking at you, and all the other pesky things, people won't be able to buy, because you're going to be so high above them, you're going to be just soaring. They're not even going to know that you're there, because you're going to be way above them. The sun will be shining. Everybody else is trying to deal with the storm, but you have, God has lifted you up, and he has enabled you to overcome. And that is what God is working out. God has given you rest. You have the rest of God. The Spirit of God abides. It stays, not just on, but in you. He's in you. He's all around you. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal of God. We know about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast, right? The identifying mark that says you belong to the beast. Well, the Holy Spirit is the mark that identifies you as belonging to God. The Spirit of God breathed into you. You are born from above. God imparts himself to you. And anyone with the Spirit of God in them, God will sustain you. God will enable you. He will make a way for you. He says, if you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, or however you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Which means you belong to who? Satan, right? The devil. Not because God didn't do anything for you, but because you didn't receive what God was offering. You didn't take advantage of the opportunity. You didn't connect to the portal. And if you connect to Christ and allow the blood of Jesus to wash you and cleanse you of all your sin, then life will be imparted to you through faith. Isn't that what the word says? Faith is the thing, is the portal that is ignited in us so that we can come alive in God. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, Romans says in 8:14, these are the sons of God. It's the word pneuma, which is the word ruah in Hebrew, the word pneuma in Greek, the same spirit or spirit of God, or the wind or the breath of God being breathed into us. And that's what the word of God, it breathes life into you. The word breathes life into you. Jesus is the word made flesh. So when you read the word, life is being breathed into you. When you abide in him, when you worship him, when you glorify him, it's because God is enabling you to see his glory, to recognize that he is with you, that you are not alone, that all things are possible through Christ because you have faith in God. You are being lifted up. Yes, you are going through trials. You are going through tribulations. You are going through hardships. But all they're doing is driving you closer to God. They cause you to call upon his name. They cause you to stretch forth your wings like an eagle. And you are lifted up. God says that Christ comes. He says that you are lifted up into heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That is what God has come to do. Anything that is not of faith is sin or is contrary to God. Anything that does not bring joy, peace, or enable and cultivate patience and joy, all these things we stirring up in you, you know that's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will bring you love, peace, and joy. And that's why the Word of God says it is the matter of a king to try to search out a matter, but it's the matter of God to cover it over. Hallelujah. God says, I'm not here to expose all the things that went wrong. I'm not here to try to expand all your problems or all the issues. I'm here to cover them up. I'm here to bind them. I'm here to keep them down out of the way so that you can be lifted up. Hallelujah. And that's what God does. And otherwise, your sin would be following you everywhere you went. But God says there's no fishing in the sea of forgetfulness. And when somebody does something wrong, the Word of God says, look, it's not even right to even speak about it. Not even right to speak about it. And so we don't want any of that. We're not here to try to talk about everybody's sins and everybody's problems. We're here to help you overcome them. Because if you overcome them, then it doesn't matter what you did yesterday, because today you got victory. Hallelujah. And if you have victory today, then why would anybody look back to yesterday? The Word of God says yesterday is gone and tomorrow is new. and the mercies of God are new every morning. And so that means you and I, we can be free from our past. Our past does not define our future. Hallelujah. And so verse 17 says, and if children, we're heirs and heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. That's right. People may not like the fact that you're a Christian. People may not like to hear the word of God. But if the Spirit of God puts it on your heart to share something with someone or just to tell them something, it may not be a direct quote of the Bible. You don't have to be a Bible or linguistic translator from whatever it's saying to your situation. All you need to do is let God give you what to say as you. Let God use you. If you're filled up with the word and you've been meditating on the scripture, don't worry about it. I always tell people, I always get in trouble for this. I'm like, don't worry about memorizing the scripture. That's great. I think it's good for kids to do all that. I think it's good for adults to do it. There's not anything wrong with it. But I'm saying, don't get hung up on it. You know, if you can remember, then thanks be to God. But if you can't, then you can't. That's why you have an advocate. You have the Holy Spirit. It's more important to have the Spirit of God working in you as you're abiding in the word of God so that the Spirit of God can bring it back rather than you bringing it back. Because sometimes people bring back the wrong verse. They bring back verses that don't apply in their situation. I've seen that a lot. And people start trying to adapt to some passage of scripture that they got going on in their mind, but it's not rightly applied. It's not being applied properly. And that's why Paul told Timothy to be rightly dividing the word of truth, so that we're applying the word of God correctly. Again, why we need good people around us to help bring balance into our life so we can soar like an eagle. And so in verse 26, it says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray, so we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And that means God says, yeah, I hear that prayer, but, you know, we're just going to let that slide, and I'm going to reword this. Don't you love that? I love that. God says, yeah, I heard that prayer, but, what you're praying and what is in your heart aren't quite lining up right. So you know what? The Spirit of God, I got you. And God ministers from your heart. He takes what's in your heart, and he translates that before God so that it comes out a certain way. That's why you pray and you're asking God for all kind of stuff. The Holy Spirit says, yeah, God, you know, no, they don't need that. They don't even know. This is what they really need. And the Spirit of God gives you what you need. And that's why God answers your prayer. You just didn't realize it. It was because it wasn't according to the words you prayed. It was according to what the Spirit intercessor said. And so God ministered and gave you what you need. But you do know when you look back, you're like, well, how did that happen? Well, look at God. Look, God got me through that. God gave me victory. I don't even know how that worked out, but it did, right? Isn't that what happens? Right. That's because the Spirit intercedes, and thank God for it. If God gave you everything you want, you know, goodness, you know, you'd be playing in traffic. And so the Spirit himself intercedes and gives us words. So when you're experiencing the challenges of life, remember the eagle. He soars way above. Let the wind blow. The wind is all right. Don't let it blow you down. Let it blow you up. Adjust your wings. Adjust your feathers. Allow the Spirit of God to raise you up. Allow God to be glorified. John 1:33 says, he says, I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And that was Jesus, my friends. It is Jesus. The Spirit remained on him. And when you receive Christ in your life as Lord and Savior, he will remain with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But he is with you always, even to the end of the age. Yes, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is working in you. You may not understand it. You may not know how it's working. But I tell you, God is faithful. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. Experience the wind, my friends. Experience the wind of the Spirit of God. Allow Him to give you some and behold experiences so that you can recognize that God is with you, that He will not leave you or forsake you, but that you will be able to proclaim and magnify the Lord as you soar like an eagle. Experience God for yourself and experience the wind. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.
Pick me up. You turn me around. You place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Because you healed my heart.
Thanks of God that you would allow the Spirit of the Lord to rise up in your life, that you would make a divine connection, cultivate your relationship with God. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of your time with God, of your time meditating on the Word of God. Soak it in and allow it to settle in your heart. Allow God to mold you and shape you. Let Him give you a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and the things of God. Don't allow your past to hold you back or to prevent you from having a better future, but trust in the Lord in all your ways. And don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him as He does these and behold things in your life. Acknowledge God. Give Him the glory. Give Him the credit. And allow Him to do a new thing in your life. God is able, He is faithful, and He is willing to accomplish great things when you trust in Him. God, I thank You for Your word today. I ask, God, that You would manifest Yourself in the life of everyone here, that we would become the people who are able to be used by You. Let Your Spirit flow through us, expand us, enable us, empower us, fill us, oh God, so that we will be fruitful and capable of representing the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God, use us. Have mercy upon us. In all these things we pray. And we give You thanks, oh God, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.
You turn me around. You place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Because He healed my heart.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. And I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, the bag of bones. And just when I ran out of the road, I met a man I didn't know. And he told me that I was not alone. He picked me up, He turned me around, He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because He healed my heart. Savior, I thank God. I cannot deny what